No, my hearty, my welcome back. We've all spent some time settling in, yeah, knowing where to put things, what our movements can be, what the schedule is, all of that. And we're starting to, just at the beginning of settling into the process, to the practice. And so what is the practice? What are we here for? I always find it really helpful to attune when I'm practicing in a formal way, to tune to the motivation for practicing. What's brought us here? Taking a couple of weeks out of our everyday lives and schedules and comforts, to renounce some of those, what's the point of that? And when we reflect inwards, there's that sense, isn't there, that yearning for freedom to awaken. You may have your own particular way of phrasing it, but surely you can recognize it, that energy that moves us towards freedom and liberation. Can you feel it in your body? Can you feel it as a deep sense, a recognition of the unsatisfactoriness of everyday consciousness? The endless repetitions of our lives. The good mixed with the bad. But that deep existential sense of surely this isn't it. And this isn't all there is. We know this. We've come through this. And here we are together gathering for a morning of practice together. Can we have that there? Available to attention. It's a support for setting mindfulness before us, isn't it? For bothering, for making the right effort that it takes to come into the present. And we remember that the teachings of the Buddha were given out of compassion, by request, out of compassion, recognizing there are those with just a little dust in their eyes. And from that basis, he taught. And that too is a teaching, that compassion, isn't it? And so we could do very well to take our inspiration from that as we settle in for this morning of practice together. Sense of compassion for this being right here. There'll be reverb from all that it took to get here. A little bit of quaking in the system. Maybe there's tiredness. For some there might be a little bit of anxiety about 2 weeks of silent retreat. There's room for all of that. We simply come into the present with whatever's present. We have this teaching, the framework of right effort, to guide us in that way, don't we? How much effort do I need to make right now, in this moment, in this morning? I really encourage you to listen into your intuition around that, trusting your own sense, your own needs, and being responsive to your own needs. We have a schedule here, and as we said, we'll ease into it. So for this morning practice together, after this first session of sitting, the bells will be rung, there'll be a rhythm to it. deciding for yourself, what do I need this morning? Do I need to be here, practicing according to that rhythm? Do I need to be resting? Just listen in and trust that, so you can choose to be part of the schedule this morning or not. But we would ask that if you are coming and going, that you do so on the bells. Yeah, just to maintain the sense of settledness in this space. Yeah. So you may go off for walking meditation and we may not see you until the meal. That will be fine. Or you may come back on the bell for the next sitting session. Yeah. We'll ease into this schedule. It's not a job. Yeah. We're each finding out what we need to do to really come fully into the present. Yeah. Finding out what right effort is. Like Soma. You know, you may have heard of Soma. Mm. A bhikkhu in the suttas. Yeah, the Buddha teaches Soma about right effort in a very beautiful way, beautiful image. So Soma is a young man from a family with wealth, with status. Yeah. Families like that at the time of the Buddha were not necessarily encouraging their daughters and sons to go off and become a samana, to give up all that they've worked hard to maintain. Mm. Often there were obstacles, and so it was for Soma. By the time he arrived at the monastery in Sarvati to practice, he'd had to go through all sorts of challenges, get past obstacles to enter the holy life, the samana life. Yeah, he was practicing walking meditation, and he was doing it on feet that were very tender because he'd been used to being carried around in a palanquin. Right? Probably not a problem most of us have. Feet quite that tender. So pink and soft were his feet, that there was a little sort of downy fur on the sole. Hadn't been worn away by the friction of walking under his own weight and his own steam. So here's dear Soma, valiantly making effort, walking back and forth on his path, bare feet on the earth beneath, till his feet bled. Mm-hmm. He comes in contact with the Buddha, and the Buddha starts to talk to him about how to, or guide him about how to apply just the right effort. So surely you can't do walking meditation in a palanquin, but walking till your feet bleed isn't part of the instruction. Yeah. So the Buddha said to him, finding right effort, it's a bit like tuning a lute. Soma would have been skilled in the arts of music and archery and all of the arts of a young man from a good family at the time. So the Buddha's using a metaphor that's directly relatable. Yeah. What happens, Soma, if you tune your strings too tightly? What sound is there? Mm. An awful high-pitched squeak. Mm. And what happens, Soma, if you don't tune your strings tightly enough? What sound does the lute make? You know, boom, an awful kind of subtonal sound. Yeah. And what happens, Soma, if you tune it just so, not too tight, not too loose? Mm. It's the basis for making beautiful music, getting the right sound, yeah, the right resonance. And so it is for us, tuning our own lutes. Yeah, if we have a tendency to be too tight, we might have already made a decision that we're not going to miss anything in this schedule. We're going to be there early, we're going to sit till our muscles tighten and our neck aches. Yeah, and if we're attuned to tuning our light lute just a little bit too loosely, we might have already planned our escapes. Little ways here and there. I'll sit quietly, But then when I go out to my mindfulness in action, phew, I'll have a chat in the kitchen with the others. Yeah, I'm going to sleep for 7 hours a day. You know, we may have find ways that we're planning to avoid too much strain. So there's a middle way, isn't there? How do we make beautiful music? How does the citta resonate truly? What's it going to take? Yeah, and we have the supports here for finding out for ourselves. Jill spoke about the frame last night that's holding us, the frame of practice. We've got this wonderful service team. Already it feels quite seamless, doesn't it? We've enjoyed some meals, some warmth. The place is clean. There's a harmony. We can rest into that. We can contribute to it. And we have noble silence as a deep support, don't we? Not angry silence, not grudging silence, noble silence. Yeah? What makes it noble? Noble silence in that we know it leads us inward. An inward staying, knowing. Yeah? As Upasaka Key describes it. Noble silence that allows us to refrain from the unwholesome, pick up and cultivate the wholesome, purify the mind. It's noble in that way. Yeah. And it's noble as an offering to ourselves and others, isn't it? This noble silence. Yeah, we're a community, and Willa gave us the image last night of trees within a forest. Yeah. Forest of trees. Can you imagine? We go into the forest. It's a kind of sanctuary generally, isn't it? We walk in there and there's a beautiful silence through the forest. There'll be bird song. There'll be the creaking of trees, the wind through the leaves. But the trees aren't all voicing their opinions. Can you imagine it? You walk into the forest. The trees are going, oh, it's a hard night. The nests were so heavy and I'm itchy and the birds were chattering and, oh, the wind, I'm aching. And look at that rimu over there looking so solid. Ha, well, who do they think they are? And can you imagine it? It would just be unimaginably awful to walk into a forest of opinionated trees. I wouldn't go there for sanctuary, that's for sure. Yeah. So here we may have opinions arising. Of course, the mind does what it does. It's a sense organ, right? The mind will be doing its thinking, but we don't have to join in and spin it and energize it. So we can really take nourishment from the sanctuary of, all that habit-driven condition. Speech and thought can just start to settle. We can come out of a spin. And as we do that here, it's a gift to those near and around us, isn't it? Yeah. And we may miss being able to chat with our partners and friends. That may be true too. But we can start to listen into the benefits that are arising from that. Yeah. We're practicing with one another, and there's a deeper way to be in connection and communication than chatter. Yeah. So we're practicing noble silence right now, right here. And we practice it when we get up to stand, when we walk, when we lie down, and when we're involved in mindfulness in action as well. There may initially be a need to communicate ever so slightly just for clarification of our actions, our roles, our jobs. But then see what it's like to work in the grace of silence. Working in the garden, being with the plants and the creatures, not preoccupied, a kind of negligent work, right? Getting nourished and giving nourishment. Or in the kitchen, places where there might be a few of us working together, more temptation to chatter. The warmth of the kitchen, the loveliness of the produce, perfect conditions for getting involved in discussion, but instead with noble silence that we're committing to. We can really feel what we're doing, give our whole heart to it. The food tastes so much better. It's so much more nourishing when it's produced from a heart that's loving, kind, and still. So we support one another in this way, committing to this noble silence, making just that right effort to be present to what we're doing, giving the gift of noble silence to one another. This forest of practitioners. Because the practice and the effort isn't to shut down. We're not closing our eyes and maintaining noble silence to shut people out. Rather, it's to open up more fully to reality, to the present. So picking up or refraining from what's unwholesome, picking up what's wholesome. How do we know what that is? We've got the conditions around us to go inward, and then here we are sitting and, oh, there it is. The issues, the judgments, the complaints, the wishes not, physical conditions. And can we, by paying attention to the body, the breath flowing within it, can we just allow what arises to be there? We allow the sun to rise, exist for a while and set without interfering. It doesn't need our help at all. It's actually the same with the phenomena that arise in the mind. They're just conditions, they're results of something that's gone before. Can we just let them have their moment? They come through. We just don't pick them up. We just don't reach out for them or push them away. Both are a form of clinging. Clinging to the conditionality of the thought or the mood. We recognize the power of the freedom to just let things go. Do I want a nagging thought about the work I didn't get finished before I came? Is that wholesome? Is it conducive to awakening? Or is it just a little bit draining? There's nothing about me in it. I'm not bad if I have a negative thought. A thought comes up. It's not about being wrong. It's about what leads to peace right now in this moment. Just see what's there for you right now. And if you're not sure, if it's just a jumble, well, we can see it just as confusion, don't know, not knowing. And we can know that state rather than believe it. That's letting go, that's putting down what's unwholesome, what's unsupportive of the deepest peace and of freedom from suffering. And then what do we pick up, what do we cultivate that is wholesome? Supports the purification of the mind. We can pick up attention to this very body, this form that's right here in the present. And the body can't be in the future or the past. So it's a wonderful anchor for the mind to come into the present. The various guidelines the Buddha's given for meditation objects, the body, the breath, These are things we can pick up again and again. Thoughts might come crashing through, take us away for a while. Oh, that's probably not helpful, unskillful, unwholesome. Let us pick up what's wholesome. Oh, that's right, the body awareness, the breath. Yeah. We have a lovely shrine set up here, the Buddha Rupa, the flowers. These are conducive as reminders of the community we're part of in the present and through time and space. There are practitioners all around the world right now doing what we're doing, and there have been for millennia. So we can pick up awareness of the communities that we're part of and let that support an inward going, knowing. So let us resolve for this session of practice to give right effort a try, to draw on the guidelines of right effort, simply to keep in the present and to help us arrive. We're practicing with compassion for ourselves and for others. We're not judging each other's progress. We're just coming home, settling in. So paying attention to the physical body right now. It's very rarely completely comfortable, the body, maybe when we're unconscious. It keeps changing, right? So while we're conscious, we can lower our standards and aim for a kind of good enough comfort, yeah? Remembering the uprightness of the spine is such a support for practice. But remembering the spine has kinks in it, so we don't need to straighten those out. We just sit comfortably upright. You might find the face and the front of the body start to soften and relax more. And as they do, the breath can flow unimpeded. Sometimes we're not aware that we're tightening around the abdomen, and that blocks the flow of air into the lower lungs. Yeah, so we're comfortably upright. Face is relaxed, the front of the body softening. And already some of the burden can drop away. Attuning to the elementality of the body, not the idea of it, not thoughts or pictures of the body, but that earthy weight of the body against the cushion, the chair. Very settling for the mind to attune to the elementality of our experience. Earthy qualities of the body. Those qualities of density, weight, firmness, softness. In that way, identical to those qualities in the very earth beneath us. Papatuanuku, earth beneath us, has those qualities. The beings around us have those qualities. It's not personal, is it? It belongs to nature. And there's fluidity in the body, cohesion, the water element. Can we attune to that in the mouth in particular, the eyeballs, but all through the body, the flow of blood. The cohesive, fluid qualities of the water element. Just exactly the same as the water dropping as rain all around us. The puddles, the lakes, the oceans. Yeah, we're part of that. Well, the body is part of that nature continuum. We're intimately related to all beings or physical phenomena around us through these elements. And we notice the warmth through the body. Places of warmth in and around the body. And the activity of digestion, the fire element in action. Absolutely the same qualities as the sun itself. Process of combustion generating warmth and life through the body. Through this body, through other bodies, other beings. It's not me or mine, this sun quality in the body, this warmth and heat. It belongs to nature. What a relief. And we can notice the air all around us, entering the body through the breath. A reliably rhythmic exchange loop between the atmosphere, the air around us, and our internal space, the breath coming in, the breath going out. The trees, the bush all around us, exhaling what we breathe in. Inhaling what we breathe out. Intricate interrelationship of the natural elements. Experiencing the brush-like stroke of breath entering and leaving the body. Comes in through every cell and every pore of skin. Yeah, the whole body drinking in the air, the breath. The breath bringing in life energy, prana, tingling through the body. The loveliness of the breath washing in and out of the body, bringing a sense of ease and delight, of well-being. It can be as simple as that, quietening down, settling into the body, being with the breathing and experiencing subtle pleasure through the breath. A wholesome cultivation. It supports a beautiful balance of tranquility and alertness. Calms the mind and body. Clarifies the mind and body. And can we just be here with this much? Just know this much. Settling into body and breath like we settle into a warm thermal pool. Embraced by the delicate rhythm of breath, held by the body, the warmth and uprightness of the body. And we stay with this practice, coming back again and again. Thought loops might take us away. Mind states might take us up or down. And we notice that. And the noticing of that is mindfulness. And again, we pick up what's wholesome. We cultivate what's wholesome. Awareness of body, awareness of breath. Experiencing wholesome delight of this practice of presence. maintaining that inward awareness, maintaining awareness of the physical body. If there's pins and needles in the feet and the legs, give them a moment and then we'll come up into standing. If it's a relief to change posture, attuning to that. What's relief like in the body? As we stabilize feet firmly against the floor, the earth beneath. It can be a support to have the feet parallel around hip width apart. So not sticking out or poking in, but a little parallel. Feel yourself quite steady there. Unlocking the knees a little bit. Maybe there's a little bend there. And letting the spine be comfortably upright. Feel how the skeleton and the earth work together to hold us upright. So those eager muscles don't need to try so hard. They can relax. Yeah, feel how the chest and the stomach open a little here and the breath can be quite full. In standing meditation, we're standing with sufficient firmness that we wouldn't fall if someone gave us a little push. But with sufficient flexibility that we're not rigid. Sustainable uprightness. Sense what a support this posture is for keeping the mind upright. Just here, just standing. Aware of the air around us, aware of others around us. We're neither closed off to our environment, nor busily, eagerly drinking in sights and sounds. We're just receiving what's here in the present moment. Notice how the body moves with the rhythm of breath. Notice how the boundaries of our sense of self start to soften a little. The rain just falling through consciousness. And in a few moments, we'll move into a session of walking meditation. There are various places to practice. Some of you might enjoy being out with raincoats and umbrellas in the rain. Others prefer to be indoors. There's the room to your right, a space in there for walking, especially if you walk back and forth along the width rather than the length of the room. Then there's room for more people. There are these verandas around the building, spaces around the courtyard. Yeah. Finding a place where you maybe have about 10 paces, 15 might be a bit harder inside, easier outside. Anywhere between 10 to 20 paces. Yeah. And what are we doing with walking meditation? It's the same. We're cultivating what's wholesome. We're refraining from what's unwholesome. We're guarding the citta, purifying the citta, the heart, the mind, the sense of me, that which experiences. Yeah? Guarding that, just as the image the Buddha gave of a person walking through a marketplace, lots of activity and buzz going on, but they're carrying a bowl on their head full of precious, valuable oil, unguent oil. And so to walk through that marketplace with all its sights and sounds and smells, yeah, and contact, takes a certain kind of steady inward attention. We're aware of what's around us, but the focus is inward. Yeah. And we're just walking one, placing one foot on the floor, then the other. When we reach the end of our walking path, we simply pause. Maintain mindfulness of body, of breath, pure kind of knowing, and then we turn around and we walk back. So we're not heading somewhere. We're not going for a scenic nature walk. We're aware of what's out there. If we're out and we can see ferns and birds, fine. But we're not focused. We're not bird spotting. We're just moving back and forth through space and time, allowing the body to sway rhythmically, keeping most of our attention inward. Good to have the gaze down, maybe a couple of meters in front of you on the floor, 6 feet or so, so that you know where you're going, but the sense of sight isn't being overloaded with stimulus. If you're not familiar with walking meditation, I'll just do a little process of it right here. You're standing upright, comfortably upright. You simply become aware as you raise one foot, then the other. Just moving within the bounds of the body. It's not a performance, so it doesn't have to look any particular way. Stopping and turning around, moving back. If you lean too far forward with your energy, get that momentum, you might fall out of awareness. So simply moving at the speed of the human organism. Sometimes we walk a bit faster when the mind is fast. It's fine. And you might think, well, if I start to slow my pace, perhaps the mind settles as well. So gauge for yourself. And it's a really enjoyable process. It's really lovely just to walk mindfully, isn't it? And the bell will call us back if you do want to come back for the next sitting session in half an hour.
It's just one announcement. When we all come back together at 2:30, that's when we're going to have the opportunity to relinquish our phones, our devices. So please bring those with you at 2:30 and make sure they're fully powered. I'll be guarding them for you. It would be nice not to be woken up with a cacophony of beeps and chirps and pings. Thank you for that attention.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.